Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that lion forms on the right, babe, not that Maggie's back in.
I got you for 3 hours till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. You know how it goes. You know the number to call as well, 888-808-1019. I'm telling you all the stuff you already know. It's reinforcement. It's good. Shut up. We got Rami on the other side. And again, got you for 3 hours until 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. And they avoided disaster. You know, there are some games that, you know, it's a good win. It's a solid win. You take it. You move on. You don't think so much of the win. But what the reverse could have been, and the Mets were having a moment there where I know Met fans felt it. The starting pitcher, Feltner, comes out of the game in the first inning with shoulder soreness and a lat issue. He's probably going to the IL. You're playing a game against Colorado and a series against Colorado. You cannot lose, right? We understand. I got a bunch of people. I guess I said must win last night. If I said must win, yeah, we all know it's not must win, right? But these are important games. These are bad teams you have to beat. You're battling teams like the Diamondbacks and Padres who do not lose. Yes, the Braves lose. And now you're only a half a game behind the Braves for the third wild card. But you're in the middle of a game against the lousy Colorado Rockies. They lose their pitcher in the first inning. You got shut down by their bullpen the night before, and now you're going to have 8 innings against one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And this offense, and yes, Pete Alonso comes through with a base hit, drives in a run early in the game in the first inning. But pretty much this offense is being shut down by this Colorado Rockies lousy bullpen. Right, and now Blackburn made a trade for him. He's come in. He's done a nice job in his two starts. He's added something here, especially as you're, you know, seeing Severino struggle and different elements of this rotation and pitching staff. We got to get to Ottavino and some of the things he said. I heard Keith talking about it. Found it very funny. Ottavino's good on TV. He was on SNY in the offseason. Now he's giving good quotes. But you're pitching well. You're holding them down in this ballpark. Yes. Colorado, especially McMahon, has played, you know, relatively really good defense in this series and in this game. But you head to the ninth inning 2-2 against the Colorado Rockies, who've been throwing slop at you. Jason Shreve making his season start. And this Mets offense that has, I've talked about it, right? They were showing it, I don't know if it was in the game yesterday, the game today, talking about, even with runners in scoring position, the OPS of the bottom of the lineup, tops in baseball, up and down the lineup, how good this offense has been since really the move, since the meeting and the move to the leadoff spot from Lindor. This offense has been as good as any. And since the All-Star break, it continues to be a really big disappointment here. It's had a couple of big games, but hasn't done anything. And you're watching this offense flounder in a game that, you know, if you lose this game and you lose this series and you start this road trip with two losses. Yes, you had the one game in St. Louis and a victory there to split them up. But you can't start this road trip, this month, that's going to dictate where this season ends up in so many ways. You can't start it losing 2 out of 3 of the Angels, and we'll get to the Angels and the Yankees soon. 888-808-1019. But you can't lose the first 2 of 3 to the Angels and follow it up by losing to Colorado with Peterson on the mound trying to stave off a sweep at the hands of Colorado. You cannot lose that game. And then in the ninth inning, the guys who have led you here, your leaders, do what they do. And yes, obviously Lindor comes through with the big hit that breaks the game open. Even Winker comes through with an add-on to get you that third run. And when they lead off with a triple themselves at the bottom of the ninth, you thought, damn, that Winker hit's going to play loom large. But I think the Alvarez triple, Alvarez has been struggling, right? He's been floundering offensively. He's moved down in the lineup. A guy who came back, right? You could literally, I mentioned right there in the open when things changed, the meeting, Lindor hitting leadoff, right? Those are things that kind of changed the season. You can add Francisco Alvarez coming back from the IL right there with them as things that have changed this team. Things that if you look at their record prior, you look at their record after, it's night and day. You look at the pitching staff, you look at what he's done defensively. He is a huge cog and an important piece of this team. And he's been doing nothing offensively. And in a game they can't afford to lose in the ninth inning, after being shut down by one of the worst bullpens in Major League Baseball for a second consecutive night, Alvarez hits one off the wall. It's misplayed out there in right field, allows him to get a triple, and suddenly it just feels like, okay. Like, I know the Lindor hit you needed, right? But that triple almost, like, as soon as he's on third, nobody out, the feeling of relief washes over you. That is an enormous hit. They needed it. The offense needed it. The team needed it. He needed it. And it immediately changed the feel of the game. You add in a couple of walks to the bottom of the lineup, and then Lindor comes up, and he's been struggling, and they talked in the postgame, or at least I read. I didn't see the postgame. I had a run here as soon as the game ended. But they talk about it in the postgame. They saw some of Lindor's swings getting big, and I like to talk about this a lot because I fight with a lot of callers about this all the time, and I tweeted about it, and it bothers me a bunch. Lindor gets two walks in front of him. Base is loaded, one out, here he comes to the plate, and a lot of people think you need to take a pitch there. And I love the aggressive nature, and we've seen it from this offense, we've seen it from this team, and we've seen it from Lindor, who's been struggling now for the last week and a half or so. And other than a hit early in the game, had some bad at-bats in this game, and has been striking out more than usual over the last 2 weeks or so. And instead of taking a pitch, instead of doing what everybody thinks you should do in good baseball and all the nonsense that I have to fight with, analytics, blah, 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 all the nonsense, he takes a first pitch fastball to drive and laces it for the game-winning hit. Followed up by the Winker base hit going the other way. They focused on going the other way. Keith did a good job talking about it while the game was going on. They were really focused on taking that fastball the other way. And in the ninth inning, they come through with two hits. Diaz comes in and saves the game. And that's a nice little win, right? It's a good win. Score a couple runs in the ninth. You get Alvarez out of his slump off the wall. Lindor gives you the big hit. Another huge hit from this guy who's been their, you know, their leader, their savior, their everything they could possibly ask from Lindor all year long. And yes, you get a nice little win. But you avoided a terrible loss. And that's one of those wins. And I'm not saying don't feel good about it. And I'm not saying, hey, you don't, I'm not, I'm, all I'm saying is you don't stack it up with one of the great wins of the season. It doesn't, like, if you're going to do a Rico Bronya podcast on the best wins of the year and the worst losses of the year, this was a win that won't make the best win of the season. But a loss to, and what a loss would have signified and where it would have put them. And to start this important stretch to lose both of these series. Now, again, tomorrow, same thing now. Later today, excuse me. I'll do that. Hate when I do that. Later today, Peterson on the mound against Gomer. This is now another very important win. You cannot lose this series. And Colorado's played fairly well, certainly defensively. They've pitched really well out of the bullpen. I mean, probably better than they have all year. And you've got an important game later today at, 4 o'clock or whenever it is, to secure a series victory against a lousy team and make sure that you don't allow this road trip. And I've been hearing it from everybody. I listened to the Rico Bronya podcast. Evan, I'm a fan. He talked about how he felt like this road trip could be somewhere where they spiral out of control after losing the first two of three. I didn't get to hear the drunk Rico Bronya podcast, but I'm sure he was pissed off after the other night's loss against Colorado. And I've heard a lot, oh, this is where it could spin out of control. I see them falling just short. This is the month. They'll play San Diego and Arizona at the end of the month, and that's those two teams don't lose right now, as Arizona takes two from what was the best record in baseball, the Cleveland Guardians, takes two. They're hot. They can't be stopped, right? I didn't see the entire game, but I know Pittsburgh in the bottom of the ninth had bases loaded, one out. And San Diego still comes to win that game. Like, these two teams are not losing right now. And while the Braves, yes, are struggling to score runs, have come back to down to the pack, and now the third wild card and only a half a game better than your New York Mets, this series, this home road trip, this month, is where you're going to decide who the Mets are. And who they were last night is a team that wouldn't lose. A team that made sure that even though they were being stymied all game long by a lousy bullpen, they figured out a way. They're team leaders in many ways in the young, up-and-coming team leader, second-year guy, face of the franchise over the course of the future, and the guy who absolutely is going to be here facing the team right now. I know we could talk about Pete Alonso. I could do a show on Pete Alonso every night. But Lindor is the guy with the contract. Lindor is the guy who called the meeting. Lindor is the guy who's come through since hitting leadoff. Lindor is the guy who's going to be here for the next couple of years. It's the current face of the franchise and the future of the face of the franchise who have both been imperative in making sure this season has gone the way it's gone since that team meeting, coming through with a big leadoff triple and then the big hit, and then you add in the Winker and the Blackburn and the trade deadline impacts on this game. And you got the faces of the franchise. You got the additions they made for this year, making sure that one of the uglier losses, one of the more disappointing series of the season, didn't happen. At least not yet. And then we get to the Yankees, who split a doubleheader out in the rainy Bronx with the Angels. And now find themselves tied again. Exactly. Identical. Records. With the Baltimore Orioles, I love doing the identical thing for my cousin Vinny. It's one of my favorite things. He has no idea what I'm talking about over there. The 12-year-old behind the scenes has no idea about my cousin Vinny. But anyway, they get a first-game victory. Offense comes through early. Verdugo, who everyone's crying and complaining about, how do you hit Verdugo? You know, I don't understand. His OPS is terrible. Why is Verdugo? Boom, two doubles. After he had a miserable series against Toronto, they score some runs, Volpe comes through, and really the story for me in the first game, if we're going to get to it, and really the story in both games is starting pitching for the New York Yankees. Luis Gil. I loved what I saw from Luis Gil in that game yesterday. That opening doubleheader in the rain, lousy day, had no grip, no real feel for his slider, which has been the pitch that has changed his season. After starting dominant with fastballs and change, went into a little bit of a rut, had like three or four miserable starts. Thank you, Soriano, for teaching him the grip on the slider. And since then, it's been fastball slider that has got his season back on track. Didn't have it. Had no feel for it whatsoever. And what I look for in young pitchers, I don't care. Yeah, he throws 98 miles an hour, and we're going to get to the Will Warrens of the world who do not. He throws 98 miles an hour, right? He dominates people. He's having a dominating season. He's been dominating since spring training. He's got the stuff. He's got everything. We know it. On days where he's brilliant and he's got that slider working and the fastball locating and he's striking people out, great. What does he do? I know against the lousy Angels lineup, I understand that they've been able to score some runs and they scored him in the second game and they, you know, have some hitters on this team and they're trying some young kids who've shown some promise. What do you do when you have nothing? What do you do when all you have is your fastball? What do you do when you can't locate anything? What do you do when you have runners on the entire game? What do you do when you have to make a pitch, two outs, full count, bases loaded? What do you do? How do you handle that? And sure, he didn't get them deep into the game, but he came out. And if we have any concerns about his innings, we can have any concerns about fatigue. The New York Yankees pushed him. Aaron Boone pushed him. He finished that fourth inning with 92 pitches or so, and he came back out for the fifth, finished the inning with over 100 pitches, a career high in pitches. The New York Yankees do not seem concerned that he is fatigued. The New York Yankees do not seem concerned about his inning limits. The New York Yankees don't feel like right now they're ready to transition him to the bullpen like so many fans are speculating is going to happen. They pushed him. They went out there and they pushed him knowing a doubleheader was coming, knowing that, you know, they had Will Warren to start the game in the second game. You don't want to go to too much of your bullpen. They needed him to get that fifth. Go out there and get that fifth when you have nothing. Go out there and get through the lineup one more time. Go out there and figure it out. And so he didn't look great. He had runners all over the place. He had 48-50 pitches through two innings. It wasn't his good stuff. But I love the fact he was able to battle through all that, battle through the weather, battle through not having his breaking stuff, battle through not being dominant, battle through guys on base every inning. That's what you're looking for. Because he might show up a game in October on a rainy night in Cleveland and not have his curveball and not have his slider and be ineffective and not be able to throw his changeup for strikes. How do you get through it? These are the games young pitchers build on. These are the games you expect guys to figure out how to make a pitch, get out of an inning, get a double play. And what we saw, to be able to get through five and give up no runs while the offense was clicking early and added on some late, that's exactly the kind of win and exactly the kind of performance you're looking for moving forward with this team and moving forward with Luis Gil. And then you get to the second game and Will Warren. And let me just say this before everybody gets... Will Warren is a young up-and-coming pitcher. Does he have the stuff of Luis Gil? No, he does not. But we are so quick to call everybody... It's just... It gets back to our Cashman hatred. He had two spot starts this year. They have not been good. He looked like he was going to get a chance to get out of that second inning. Couldn't do it, gave up the grand slam. He was right there. He had bases loaded, nobody out, gets two strikeouts, and hopefully it looked like maybe just one run given up, and he gives up a walk and a grand slam, and the game is out of control. Understandable. And it's frustrating. You want to take all these games from the lousy Angels. I'm right there. Now, just like the Mets in their series, the Yankees can't lose a series at home to the Angels. Nestor Cortez better be home Nestor later today if the rain holds up, because they can't afford to lose this game either, tied with the Baltimore Orioles for first place. This now becomes an enormous game for the New York Yankees. But in a doubleheader, when you're going to let the kid pitch as well because you went through your best bullpen and you had four innings in the first game, you're not going to run to your bullpen and blow it up, even though you might have some rainouts and you've had some days off here. You got to let Will Warren pitch. And we're so quick to call guys bums and terrible, and this guy stinks and he can't pitch. And this is a young kid just getting his feet wet, literally, in Major League Baseball. He's had two spot starts. He hasn't been that good. And it's frustrating to watch when you fall behind 6-0 and the offense has been better. And it's unfortunate when you feel like the game is over in the first two innings, but that's what the doubleheader led them. That's what they're trying to do. They've lost some depth in the rotation with injuries, whether it be Cody Petit or obviously Clark Schmidt, who's hopefully working his way back, says he feels fantastic after throwing some batting practice the other day or whatever, going through live pitching. So if he can come back, the rotation can come back, you don't have to see Will Warren hopefully again until next year. But we get hung up on it. I saw the two pitching performances obviously dictated the game. There's a lot to talk about the offense. I'm not going to do it here in the open. We'll do it in a little bit. We got to talk about Wells. We got to talk about Stanton. Got to talk about Jazz Chisholm, who's looked awful here in a Yankee uniform, a home Yankee uniform, after dominating in his first couple games in the road uniform. Maybe the Yankee pinstripes are a little heavy for him. But the Yankees get a split. They have an enormous game later today. The Mets avoid one of the worst losses of the year, in my opinion, just because... not because of heartbreak or anything other than an offense that's been dominating, being shut down by a miserable bullpen, and losing a series to the Colorado Rockies off of losing a series to the Angels. So they avoid that, get a big win, come through with their face of their franchises and the additions at the trade deadline, and the Yankees get a split, still walking Judge. Judge comes through in the first game. Jazz Chisholm doing nothing, and have they found a cleanup hitter in Wells? All to get to over the course of 3 hours. 888-808-1019. Oh, and by the way, did you see Clay Holmes shut down that first game with two strikeouts, by the way, too? Apparently he has swing and miss stuff. I don't know. I don't know what happened. 888-808-1019. Your calls next right here on The Fan.